from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sanawi, the news first, the headlines. China International Import Expo is a good opportunity to increase Indonesian exports. Indonesian Ministry of Trade confiscates 5 tons of imported garlic seeds. Science diplomacy must give solution to global issues. And now the news in detail. Indonesia will participate in China International Import Expo 2018 that will be held in Shanghai on November the 5th to 10, 2018. Director General of National Export Development, Ministry of Trade, Arlinda, said that China is Indonesia's main trading partner with a total trade of $58 billion. China is the largest export and import market for Indonesia. Currently, Indonesia is still experiencing a trade deficit with China amounted to $14.1 billion. Therefore, Indonesia will further enhance the trade promotion, one of them through China International Import Expo. To the media at the Ministry of Trade on Tuesday, March the 13th, Arlinda explained that this exhibition will be firstly held by the Chinese government invites more than 200 countries and 150,000 buyers to participate in the event. On this exhibition, Indonesia is one of 4 countries that gets 160 square meter country pavilion area for free of charge. According to Arlinda, this is an excellent opportunity for Indonesia to promote Indonesia's potential products.
Tapi ini artinya peluang yang bagus buat kita.
This means a good opportunity for us to reduce the deficit. So we are trying to participate and we collaborate with Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, KADIN, and Indonesia-China Businessmen Association, and we have booked 1,000-meter exhibition area. Arlinda further explained that after participating, Indonesia's leading products will be promoted through the expo website. The Ministry of Trade still discuss what products will be displayed in Pavilion Indonesia. The exhibition of Indonesian products will be divided into 3 zones, namely agricultural zones, consumer goods, and tourism. Arlinda asked the organizers that the Pavilion Indonesia is located in a strategic location. The Ministry of Trade will coordinate with the local governments to participate in presenting Indonesia's leading products such as coffee, palm oil, rubber, and automotive. The Indonesian Ministry of Trade has confiscated 5 tons of imported garlic seeds traded in Kramat Jati Central Market, East Jakarta. The Director of Trade Compliance of Trade Ministry, Ferry Angriono, explained that garlic seeds is prohibited to be traded in the market since it must be planted. He explained to the media on Monday, March the 12th in North Jakarta that his office has pulled the garlic seeds of planting mandatory program from the market. The importers have the license to import 300 tons of garlic seeds from the Ministry of Agriculture. Currently, the Ministry of Trade is rechecking 8 containers of garlic seeds.
Kami ingin sampaikan kepada para
We would like to convey that if the importers are given the import permit for seeds, it must be planted. It is not allowed to sell it to the market. We want to get self-sufficiency of garlic. The minister just gave licenses for import for garlic not to be traded. Ferry Angriono further explained that the government has issued a policy to ease of doing import through the shift of supervision from border to post-border or outside the custom area. Therefore, the ministry will not compromise to the importers who break the rules. The garlic seeds are imported from China and enter Indonesia through Tanjung Priok Port. Physically, garlic and garlic seeds do not have a significant difference, but there have been found the words on the packaging that the commodity formed garlic seeds. Although the garlic seeds in Kramat Jati market can be consumed, Very stated that it has violated import regulations. The garlic package with the January 2018 production label was imported before garlic import permit at the end of February 2018 issued by the Ministry of Agriculture. Science diplomacy has important thing for global change with the existing issues in many countries. Science plays the role in building trust and relationship among countries. It was stated by acting chairman of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, or LIPI, who was represented by Deputy of Science of Social and Humanity, Trinuke Pujiastuti, on the workshop of science diplomacy in Jakarta on Monday, March the 12th. Trinuke also said that science becomes a bridge to boost cooperation among countries in providing solution of issues such as poverty.
Kalau kita melihat pada tataran global, kita bisa melihat ada, kita menyebutnya multi-stress zone.
In a global order, we can see there is multi-stress zone in Africa, Asia, and part of Europe and America. What happens if we say multi-stress zone? There are big issues such as air, demography, hunger, and coastal issues, even conflict. These are global issues and have been big challenges that we have not been able to overcome. Moreover, Trinuke Pujiastuti explained, related to the importance of science diplomacy, the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, continues to participate by sending more than 500 researchers to many foreign countries to boost international cooperation. She said that science has the role in the context of geopolitics and geostrategic of the state. The Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, prioritizes its research in the field of food, energy, maritime, and biodiversity. The priority sectors are related to the reference of the Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs. It was said by Deputy of Science of Social and Humanity of LIPI, Trinuke Pujiastuti, to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on the sidelines of a workshop on science diplomacy in Jakarta on Monday, March 12. She said that the research priority becomes the challenge for the institute so that its research can be explored by others.
Tantangan ke depan dari Pak Peneliti itu adalah bagaimana mendeliver, menyampaikan.
The upcoming challenges of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, is how to deliver the research outcome to stakeholders nationally and globally, in which it is not bilateral but multilateral. This is the multipolar built by LIPI as the second track. It is the big power we have. Trinuke Pujiastuti also explained that the research output of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, must provide solution from the studied issue so that it will give positive impact for Indonesian interests, especially it can be beneficial for the world interest. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. 4 tons of mixture stuffs, which are aid for Papua people, are ready to be dispatched to earthquake victims in Papua New Guinea. Director of Papua Linguistic Institute, PLI, Samuel Tabuni, said to Antara News Agency on Tuesday, March the 13th in Jayapura, that the aid which is distributed through the institute will be immediately dispatched to Papua New Guinea to alleviate the burden on the society in the two provinces. Currently, it is still conducted coordination with the government of Papua New Guinea so that the aid is immediately dispatched to people who need. The aid consists of clothes and foods which have been donated to society since the end of February. According to Samuel Tabuni, earthquake measuring 7.5 on the Richter scale, which occurred on February 26 to 28, has killed around 75 people in Hela and Southern Highlands province. The earthquake is felt in a number of regions in Papua, especially which border with the Papua New Guinea, such as Merauke and Bovendigul Regency. In Bovendigul Regency, a number of buildings and houses were destroyed, but there were no casualties. Independent member of British House of Parliament, Lord Charles David Powell, on Monday, March the 12th in Jakarta, held a meeting with Coordinating Minister of Law, Politics and Security Wiranto. David Powell told the press that the system of Indonesian democracy runs well, and he appreciated the performance of President Joko Widodo related to the system. Lord Charles David Powell also said that he is optimistic that the system of Indonesian democracy will bring a good impact on the regional, legislative, and presidential election in 2018-2019. Powell also said that the development of Indonesian infrastructure, which is getting better since the last 30 years, has also significantly increased in the economic sector. It could be seen that there are many British investors doing business in Indonesia. During the meeting, David Powell and Wiranto also discussed commitment of the two countries in handling terrorism. And the last item, Chief of Staff of the Presidency, Muldoko, stated that currently, foreign direct investment from European countries is the second biggest in Indonesia. Even the European Union becomes the fourth biggest of Indonesian trade partner. Muldoko also provides a guarantee on security to investors who want to invest in Indonesia. This was stated by Muldoko when receiving 21 ambassadors of European Union in Jakarta on Monday, March the 12th. Muldoko invites the ambassadors to be more optimistic to invest in Indonesia and to help Indonesian economic growth under the government of President Joko Widodo. The data of investment coordinating board shows investment from European countries such as England, Germany, France, Italy, Poland, Denmark, and Sweden is growing rapidly. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. China International Import Expo is a good opportunity to increase Indonesian exports. Indonesian Ministry of Trade confiscates 5 tons of imported garlic seeds. Science diplomacy must give solution to global issues. And listener, that was the news. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Ease of Tax to Boost Investment. The government of Indonesia is enthusiastically encouraging investment. That is an important and supporting aspect of the country's economy. No wonder it is attempting to increase both domestic and international investment. Therefore, in addition to providing infrastructure, the government has also issued several economic policies since 2015. Until 2017, there had been 16 voluntary policy packages, some of which are aimed at supporting and pushing investment. In addition, the government, through the Minister of Finance, is also finalizing 4 new regulations that will soon be ratified in coming weeks. The objective is to enhance investment, as President Joko Widodo expressed in the target of economic growth in 2018. The 4 regulations are about tax holiday or tax incentives in the form of exemption of income tax, tax allowance or tax deduction, tax of small-medium enterprises, and incentives for companies conducting research and development and vocation. With its vast area, Indonesia does need a lot of capital to ensure all regions to get adequate one for development. Besides, Indonesia is an archipelagic country, so development could be hampered due to access and mobility reasons. In fact, Indonesia has a wealth of nature and a very large potential. The strategic location between 2 continents, Asia and Australia, and 2 oceans, India and the Pacific, is also Indonesia's advantage in the international market. Therefore, the government is increasingly aware of the importance of foreign investment in the development of Indonesia, in addition to exploiting a large area. The number of foreign investors coming and investing in Indonesia certainly cannot be separated from the attitude of the government in providing facilities and tax ease. How will foreign investors invest their capital in Indonesia if the government imposes a bothersome tax system, especially if there is no adequate facility? Even though foreign investment is needed to encourage and promote the Indonesian economy, it must be done in an orderly manner and in accordance with investment regulations, instead of harming the country and the nation of Indonesia in the future. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History, a regular segment that brings back people and events from this date in the past, as recorded in history. While listener, will start with 13 March 1984, the sect Children of God is prohibited by the Indonesian Attorney General. Former Attorney General Ismail Saleh announced the ban on Children of God teachings on March 13, 1984. Since then, the sect group can no longer spread its teachings in Indonesia. Ismail Saleh called Children of God as a sect that teaches free sex, which cannot be accepted by Indonesian culture and value. Children of God, later known as Family of Love, and now the International Family, is a new religious movement that began in Huntington Beach, California, USA in 1968. Most of its members are from the hippie movement. They changed their names several times. Children of God was used from 1968 to 1977. Then it became the Family of Love from 1978 to 1981. Then it was only the Family from 1982 to 1994. In 2004, the name was changed again to International Family. Next event is that of March 13, 2007. Professor Sarbini Sumawinata passed away. Professor Sarbini Sumawinata was an Indonesian socialist figure, a Sundanese intellectual of Sumedang descent, who was an economist and professor of Faculty of Economics at University of Indonesia. He contributed to the state because in 1965 he was the best man to introduce the concept of economic development to General Suharto, who was then still serving as commander of the Army Strategy and Reserve or Kostrad. This concept would later result in the improvement of state economy at the beginning of a new order government. Professor Sarbini actively developed the idea of populist economy for the improvement of the welfare of rural people. The state, he said, needs to invest freely to destroy the remnants of feudalism and colonialism that continue to blind the rural people. He also advocated various measures of modernization in agriculture. The populist industrialization covering all sectors of village life, such as agriculture, fisheries, trade, transportation, banking, he said, needs to be built to improve the welfare of villagers. Professor Sarbini Sumawinata passed away in Jakarta on March 13, 2007, at the age of 88. And the last item in today's in history is that in 1992, an earthquake hit Erzincan, the eastern region of Turkey. On March 13, 1992, an earthquake hit Erzincan, eastern Turkey, with 6.7 Richter scale. The quake left at least 498 people dead, and about 2,000 others were injured.
total financial loss reached $13.5 million. More than 3,000 aftershocks were felt in the area afterwards. Well, listener, that was student history from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thanks for listening. I'm here, Mana Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Well, listener, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Alice Sedman, My Indonesia. Today's topic is People Consolidated Assembly, MPR, improves the socialization of four pillars. The People Consultative Assembly (PR) continues to improve the socialization of four pillars of the national nation, namely Pancasila, the 1945 Constitution, Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, which means unity in diversity, and unitary state of Republic of Indonesia in some regions across Indonesia. As quoted from page mpr.go.id, MPR socialized the four pillars in Bandung West Java on March 10. Which was attended by more 300 leaders and members of the Association of Indonesian Muslim Entrepreneurs, IPAMI, Bandung, attended by members of the MPR from the Regional Representative Council of the Republic of Indonesia. This socialization was opened by Secretary of MPR, Mahrub Cahyono. He said that the socialization of the four pillars has been carried out and completed. The point of the socialization is to provide knowledge, to instill understanding, and to internalize the noble values of MPR's four pillars to Indonesian people. Mahrub perceived that the vision of four pillars is ideal in line with the future of Indonesia. In addition, he also said that ideological resilience is very important because without having the resilience of ideology, the Indonesian nation will not be able to face a very heavy and challenging competition, both domestically and internationally. He added that the people of Indonesia must have and maintain the resilience of ideology. If Indonesian nation does not have it, an independent Indonesia with the Indonesian personality is impossible. Furthermore, Mahrub stated that now the young generation is hoped to be able to have and maintain the ideology's resilience. Mahrub reminded that today's life is the domain of global life. Inevitably, all countries are interconnected globally. But what to keep in mind is that Indonesian people should not forget their national identity. Mahrub added that if this nation must have the ideology resilient, this nation must also have the competitiveness. The young generation must be smart, optimistic, and united, so the Indonesian nation can compete with other countries. Mahrub also disclosed that the point is that the young generation has to have ideological resilience and high competitiveness. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesia will participate in China International Import Expo 2018 that will be held in Shanghai on November the 5th to 10, 2018. Director General of National Export Development Ministry of Trade Arlinda said that China is Indonesia's main trading partner with a total trade of $58 billion. The Indonesian Ministry of Trade has confiscated 5 tons of imported garlic seeds traded in Kramat Jati Center Market, East Jakarta. The Director of Trade Compliance of Trade Ministry, Ferry Angriono, explained that garlic seeds is prohibited to be traded in the market since it must be planted. He explained to the media on Monday, March the 12th in North Jakarta, that his office has pulled the garlic seeds of planting mandatory program from the market. Science diplomacy has important thing for global change with the existing issues in many countries. Science plays the role in building trust and relationship among countries. It was stated by acting chairman of Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, who was represented by Deputy of Science of Social and Humanity, Trinuka Pujiastuti, on a workshop of science diplomacy in Jakarta Monday, March the 12th. On similar occasion, the Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI prioritizes its research in the field of food, energy, maritime, and biodiversity. The priority sectors are related to the reference of Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs. 4 tons of mixture stuffs, which are aid for Papua people, are ready to be dispatched to earthquake victims in Papua New Guinea. Director of Papua Linguistic Institute, or PLI, Samuel Tabuni, told Antara News Agency on Tuesday in Jayapura that the aid, which is distributed through the institute, will be immediately dispatched to Papua New Guinea to alleviate the burden on the society in the two provinces. Independent member of the British House of Parliament, Lord Charles David Powell, on Monday, March the 12th in Jakarta, held a meeting with Coordinating Minister of Law, Politics and Security Wiranto. David Powell told the press that the system of Indonesian democracy runs well, and he appreciated the performance of President Joko Widodo's related to the system. Chief of Staff of the Presidency, Muldoko, stated that currently foreign direct investment FDI from European countries is the second biggest in Indonesia. And listener, that was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOR. Today's sound.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Curug Putri Patulungan in Kuningan, West Java. So stay tuned. Listener, Kuningan is a regency in West Java province. Beside the city famous as the town of horse, apparently, Kuningan has many tourist objects of exotic and amazing waterfalls, in Sundanese called Curug. One of them is Curug Putri Patulungan. Curug is suitable visited for those who like adventure. Curug can also provide different and exciting holiday sensation. Listener, Curug Putri Patulungan is located in the tourism forest at the foot of Mount Ciremai. Curug Putri is also one of the climbing roads to the top of Ciremai. Although the longest path, but most climbers prefer to pass the Curug because it has an easiest route. The waterfall is located close to the guard post of Mount Ciremai. The 50 hectares forest tourism is managed by forestry company Perum Kehutanan of Kuningan Regency. Listener,
The 20 meters waterfall is actually has many other names, such as Curug Putri, Curug Ciputri, Curug Siputri, and Curug Putri Patulungan. When considered carefully, the shape of Curug Putri Patulungan resembles a bride with a white dress. This is what makes it called Curug Putri. In addition, the local people also believe the legend of Curug Putri is the best pool of nymphs from heaven. When the drizzle and the sun shines, Curug Putri or Curug Patulungan will show the beautiful rainbow from the sideline of the trees. The rainbow is what most people believe as a bridge for the angels to come down to earth. Listener, Curug Putri is believed to have efficacy to cure bone disease, which can bring a mate and work. However, many people also believe that Curug Putri can cure 1001 disease. In a sense, many people come to Curug Putri to ask for blessing. So don't be surprised if visitors let their bodies hit by waterfall water splash. The location of Curug Putri surrounded by lush trees and steep cliff. The visitors will find a large bayan tree on the left side of the waterfall that can be used for shade. In front of the object, there is available a shallow pool to accommodate the water. Because it is quite shallow, it can be used for bathing and swimming. Moreover, the water is very clear, so the visitor should not hesitate to dive. Listener, distance of Curug Putri from downtown Kuningan City only 10 kilometers and can be taken about 30 minutes. And access to the location is not difficult to reach because the road is already paved. The way to Curug Putri is similar to Maria Cave, which is located in Totombok, Cisantana. The distance Curug Putri to Maria Cave is only a few kilometers away. There are complete public facilities in Curug Putri, such as public toilets, place of worship, parking lots, food stall, and information center. Other complementary facilities are sport facilities, camping ground, and outbound area. Curug Putri also has many other wonderful objects. The legend about the existence of angel and efficacy of the waterfall that can bring a mate closely to make anyone curious to visit it. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Curug Putri Patulungan. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello
welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a special segment that introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is pelayanan kamar hotel, or in English, hotel room service. Stay tuned. Next, I will give you an example of a conversation on pelayanan kamar hotel, or in English, hotel room service. As usual, I'll utter the sentence slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. Following is a conversation which takes place at the hotel between Tony, who is from England, with the hotel receptionist. The conversation is in Bahasa Indonesia. Receptionist, selamat malam dengan housekeeping. Ada yang bisa kami bantu? Tony, malam, saya perlu pengering rambut. Boleh saya pinjam? Pengering rambut ada di laci lemari, Pak. Oh, baik, saya lihat dulu. Terima kasih. Sama-sama. Musik. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the vocabulary and phrases related to today's topic. I will say it twice and you may repeat after me. Saya perlu pengering rambut. Saya perlu pengering rambut. In English, I need a hair dryer. Boleh saya pinjam pengering rambut? Boleh saya pinjam pengering rambut? May I borrow a hair dryer, please? Laci, laci, drawer. Pengering rambut ada di laci lemari. Pengering rambut ada di laci lemari. The hair dryer is in the drawer. Saya lihat dulu. Saya lihat dulu. I look for it first. Perlu, perlu, to need. Handuk, handuk, towel. Handuk baru, handuk baru, fresh towel. Sisir, sisir, comb. Convey what you need, use the word perlu or butuh. Saya perlu pengering rambut. Saya perlu pengering rambut. In English, I need a hair dryer. Saya butuh pengering rambut. Saya butuh pengering rambut. I need a hair dryer. Saya perlu handuk baru. Saya perlu handuk baru. I need a fresh towel. Saya butuh sisir. Saya butuh sisir. I need a comb. For ending Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia today, let's listen for more details of the conversation once again. Selamat malam dengan housekeeping. Ada yang bisa kami bantu? Malam, saya perlu pengering rambut. Boleh saya pinjam? Pengering rambut ada di laci lemari, Pak. Oh, baik. Saya lihat dulu. Terima kasih. Sama-sama. Speak Bahasa Indonesia, there is also a quiz with interesting prizes. The question is, specify your name, from which country you are, and your address. Please answer the question by submitting your greetings first and send your voice recording to email address at voi@voinews.id. Example, selamat pagi, nama saya Tina. Saya berasal dari Indonesia. Alamat saya Jalan Merdeka Barat, Jakarta Pusat, Indonesia. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia will be back tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman, to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which is introduce you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's editions, we will present the song from Aceh. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Katidin by Liza Aulia. Happy listening. Listener, Katidane is one of the songs contained in Kutiding album. An album that has raised Liza Aulia's names, especially in Aceh region. Besides she has a distinctive vocal character and strong, Liza Aulia is also able to compose the song, such as the song Katidane. The beautiful woman who wear hijab also often perform in some big cities of Aceh. Liza Aulia actually has singing talent since she was in high school. She also played the soap opera on the national television station TVRI. Although she has not yet released a lot of albums, singing is familiar with her. Liza has begun to sing since she was childhood. Even she learned to read from the lyric of the song. Singing is not the hobby for Liza Aulia, but also a form of moral responsibility as an artist. According to her, art is the identity of a nation. Therefore, Liza Aulia will be consistent in Aceh music. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Anak Yatim by Rafli. Happy listening.
Don't kiss
Listener, the song is played repeatedly when tsunami devastated Banda Aceh. The song entitled Anak Yatim contains the groaning of orphans. Previously, Rafli began to be known as local singer of Aceh when he released an album entitled Hasan Hussein. The journey of the Acehness male singer is not easy. Before successfully entering the recording industry, Rafli had a chance to sing in coffee shop in Aceh. His distinctive vocal color became his own advantages for him. In his song, Rafli tried to combine traditional Aceh music with modern music. The song Anak Yatim was also played during the commemoration of Aceh tsunami disaster. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Hathay Kew Allah by Liza Aulia and Dara by Rafli. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Wanita mau pikat dan sabar.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.